Jameson Green is an internationally respected leader within the US transgender movement and beyond. A powerful speaker and compelling writer, James is an acknowledged inspiration to thousands of people, trans and non-trans alike. I caught up with James when he contributed to the recent Trans with Pride conference in London in the middle of June. During a break for lunch, we took a walk in the sun outside the Central School of Speech and Drama, and I began by asking him to recall how long he'd been involved in trans activism.
Since about 1989. So it doesn't really feel like that long compared to many other people who've been very, very busy. But I've been... I think my level of energy and my level of interest in various topics has caused me to have a great positive effect beyond what many people have had in the past. And, you know, I stand on their shoulders, basically, and I credit so many people like Jude Patton and Jason Cromwell and, of course, Lou Sullivan and various people in the States who've done so much work prior to me.
Things seem to be changing now so much. How do you think the trans people have changed in, let's say, the last decade?
Oh, my God. Well, the thing about trans people in the last decade is that they've lost, not lost totally, but they've been losing, sloughing off the sense of shame that, which was my primary reason for becoming an activist, truly, was that I realized the fear and the shame that people were expressing in their complaints about their lives, or just in the stories about their lives, not even just complaints, but just the facts of their lives. And I thought, I'm hearing all this fear and shame. Am I experiencing that fear and shame? Am I expressing that fear and shame? I don't want to live like that, and I don't think any of us deserve to live like that. And that is, in fact, what underwrites all of the activism that I do. And I just try to take that principle that we do not deserve to live in fear and shame into every aspect of society that I'm capable of touching.
That's an important part of being an activist, of course. It starts with challenging yourself, doesn't it?
Yes.
How do you think that we differ between the United States and England? What are the good bits and what are the bad bits?
I think the good bits are, first of all, we're really very similar human beings. We share a common culture in many respects, especially if we're white and Anglo-Saxon, we share that culture. We also have countries that have a great deal of immigration to them. We need to incorporate other cultures and other races and other kinds of issues into the trans movement. So we share that. We share the connection with the queer community and genderqueer consciousness, which I think is wonderful. Where we're different, I think, is in the forms of government and the institutions that we have. We can't make the same arguments all the time, even though we have the same beliefs and we have the same goals. We can't make the same arguments to get to the places we want to get, which are the same place. So that sometimes is frustrating in terms of having dialogue across the pond and sharing ideas with other activists. You know, one thing may have been tried and been very successful in one place that simply won't work in the other place. And, you know, so it's disheartening to a certain extent.
The problems are similar, but the levers, the mechanisms for addressing them, and the tableau on which they're played out are very different, aren't they?
And I think a lot of people don't appreciate that so much. And they often, I think there's sometimes competition in the trans community for people to be successful and be stars, and so they feel good about someone else's failure sometimes, which is not very constructive. I don't want to move in that direction myself. In my goal is that all of us are successful, and I think in order to have all of us be successful, we have to appreciate the differences and the problems and the nuances that each of us faces and that each of us is dealing with. And I think in the States, it's really, really America-centric. I mean, people don't have much consciousness about other cultures outside of, I mean, other institutional cultures outside of the States. It's very, we get very little international news. We are, we don't learn other languages. It's just, it's an embarrassment, frankly. That's why I spend so much time traveling and trying to make international contacts and build those bridges and those links, because I think it's so important. And I think that in the States there's not a lot of appreciation for that.
And of course, I mean, there are big parts of the map, Latin America, the Middle East, and the Indian.
Asia, yes, yeah.
Yeah, where we still know, not, we don't really know enough, do we?
No, but I've been to Taiwan, I've been to Japan, I've been in contact with people in Pakistan and in the Middle East and in Africa and in South America as well, and it's really exciting and daunting, because in some cases the levels of oppression are really horrible and there's really nothing that I can do. You know, it's like I can't reach out and pull them over to me, or I can't go there necessarily. I mean, there, sometimes I can, but if I got there, I don't speak the language. What would I do without competent translation? You know, so there are difficulties in that respect, but still, we're in a very, very transitional, to coin a phrase, formative stage in terms of building this movement. In spite of the fact that many of us have been working for decades, it's still in its infancy.
It does really have the feel of being just on the brink,
yes,
of something really exciting, doesn't it? A number of things are coming together. I think there's a lot more awareness of trans in the mainstream population.
Yes.
So there are big things to come, and hopefully we're all going to be working together on them.
Absolutely. One of the things that I think that doesn't get appreciated in other countries that's true about the States is that we are not monolithic. There are 50 states, and each one has its own personality, its own set of laws, its own jurisdictions. We have no federal protection. We now have 12 states that have protections. California is the most advanced in terms of the levels at which we are protected through state law and the remedies that we can actually achieve. Yes, there's gay marriage in Massachusetts, which is really crucial for trans people. And I think all trans people need to understand that gay marriage as an issue moves toward degendering and decriminalizing gender transition, if you will. So it's a stretch, but it does move in that direction. And that, of course, is what the religious right is starting to gather. And so they are going to be a very, very formidable opponent for us in the States, especially in the middle section of the United States, where there is very little real visibility and real understanding. So that's a real challenge.
I think that's one of the things that we over here in England actually find hardest to comprehend, because although we do have our evangelical Christians, they're not really considered to be a force that's taken seriously anyway, certainly not politically. So it's hard to actually comprehend how that's that influences. How do you think it, in what tangible ways do you think it does influence trans people's lives at the moment?
They actually incite to violence. They are an incredible fundraising machine. They basically want it to be okay for us to be dead. And that's very scary.
And thinking about this conference this weekend, this Transfabulous conference, what are you getting from it today?
Well, it's just begun. I mean, it's exciting to me to see the energy, the interest, to listen to people's stories and to grasp their ideas for the solutions for their own issues. The seeking that's taking place, the realization that there's so much information available that people have not tapped into yet, and the excitement that builds when people are suddenly aware that there are resources, all of that. And, you know, it's multi-layered, multi-leveled. You know, there's different levels and awarenesses going on at the same time, simultaneously. So people are energized by that, and that motion, that excitement is very, very encouraging to me.
It's wonderful to see so many people actually really wanting to get stuck in, isn't it? I think that's the thing that really encourages you to think things are going to change.
Oh, they are. They are going to change. There's no way that they can't.
Okay, Jameson, thanks very much.
A pleasure. Thank you.